910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Crowds are building outside St. Peter's Basilica, where the body of Pope Francis is lying in state. Tens of thousands are expected to pay their respects in the coming days ahead of his funeral on Saturday. ABC's Patrick Rievel has more.
There are still hundreds of people gathered here lining up to try and pay their respects to Pope Francis. We hear from the Vatican that they may extend the opening times to pay people, for people to pay their respects beyond midnight tonight because of the number of people coming here. And I think the atmosphere all day has been one of curiosity by people who are just here as tourists, but others who, you know, are deeply moved.
Investors on a buying spree today, encouraged after President Trump struck a softer and more optimistic tone over tariff talks. It comes as U.S. stocks are on pace to have its worst April since the Great Depression. In Turkey, a 6.2 magnitude earthquake struck near Istanbul today, leading residents to run into the streets and flee buildings. More than 230 injured so far. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate voted nearly unanimously to pass a bill expanding Medicaid coverage for postpartum mothers on Tuesday. Under current law, pregnant Wisconsinites can receive 60 days of Medicaid coverage if they have an annual income of up to 306% of the federal poverty line. Wisconsin is one of only two states that has not extended that coverage to a full year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has refused to bring up similar bills for an assembly vote in the past, despite bipartisan support, calling it an expansion of welfare. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is looking for employers in the state who hire and retain veterans for the Vets Ready Employer Initiative. According to a press release, the Department of Workforce Development will begin accepting applications for the program through July 18th. The program seeks to honor and provide assistance to organizations in the state that hire veterans, helping them attract and retain even more veteran employees. Organizations can apply for the program in person or online through the Vets Ready website. Washburn County is looking to improve its child services by hiring a child welfare case manager or social worker. The position would be part of the Family Services Unit with the Department of Health and Human Services. County officials say whichever position is hired will provide services for families experiencing child abuse and neglect issues, delinquency, and foster care. Qualified applicants must have a bachelor's degree in social work or a related field and a Wisconsin social work certification. Applications will be accepted until May 2nd. The Barron County Board of Supervisors has approved the sale of $4.8 million in general obligation corporate purpose bonds. The bonds were awarded to the Bank of Oklahoma, which won the competitive bidding process by offering an interest rate of 4.14%. County officials say the bond money will go towards projects like updating communications equipment at the Emergency Dispatch Center, infrastructure upgrades at the Justice Center, and new boilers at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire-Barron County campus. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A big night for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bryce Terang had four hits. Jake Bowers, a two-run homer. Christian Yelich, a grand slam that sailed 407 feet. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3 in San Francisco. Jose Quintana allowing just one run over six innings. He's now 3-0. Is he the best pitcher the Brewers have right now? Pat Murphy.
He is. I mean, he's only, how many starts has he made for us?
Three.
I feel like he's made 30 for us because it's just like he gives you that understanding of like, I know how to pitch. I know how to get out of this thing. I know how to navigate through a lineup.
NBA, the Bucks losing again to the Pacers, 123-115. The series moves to Milwaukee Friday with Indy up 2-0. NFL draft in Green Bay. Players and families arriving for tomorrow night's first round.
It is pretty amazing just kind of seeing all this kind of come together. What a cool thing for the Packers and city of Green Bay, and really neat to see it all come together.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and a little warmer today. We'll get to the mid-60s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered showers possible with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few off and on showers with a high in the upper 50s to right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Zomers, on the board. It is now 6 past the hour of 2 o'clock on Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Hump Day!
Look at that, Zomers. Not only did I get the time right, the camel made it as well.
Although he did send me a strongly worded email.
Oh, really?
He was not informed of the time change, and he was waiting here for an hour, and...
Oh.
He got really hungry. He got hangry. I mean, but we've calmed the camel down.
Well, once you get over the hump, everything is downhill.
Exactly.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you along. It is from the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Partly sunny skies. Great to be with you here on a Wednesday, our brand new time slot. If you normally tune in for the Maggie Dawn Show, have no fear. She is just 2 hours later now, from 4 until 6. Maggie will follow us. We were back-to-back before, but we were noon to 2, and then Maggie was 2 to 4, and now we're 2 to 4, and Maggie's 4 to 6. And our friend Pete Schwabba at Nightlight, he stays exactly where he was at 6 o'clock, 6 until 8, the great show Pete Schwabba, or the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Conrad, their great producer. So glad to have you here. Glad, hope you made it here. If this time doesn't work for you, you could always go to the podcast or Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and watch it taped delayed or on demand. Is it on demand? Is that the proper way to say it? I don't know.
I guess so.
All right. Tom Hartman comes on now before us, and then from 11 to 2. And then before Tom Hartman is our friend and colleague, Jay Matnair and Greg Bach with Matnair on Air. And then before that, 6 until 9, is the Pat Kreitlow Show. It's Mornings of Pat Kreitlow. So Kreitlow is 6 to 9, then Matnair on Air from 9 until 11, Hartman, then us, then Maggie, then Pete.
Indeed. That's
and
the new
listen, I listened to some of the, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. Mark Pocan, Congressman Mark Pocan, Democrat from Madison, was on the Tom Hartman show today. So I listened to about an hour and a half of Hartman. Here's my big takeaway from the Tom Hartman show. I had no idea that liberals were so much into cryptocurrency.
I'll leave it at that.
There are a lot of ads for cryptocurrency.
New AI-powered cryptocurrency investment plan.
Look, you can recite it. So we're going to talk about some of the things that were that Hartman and Congressman Pocan were discussing a little bit later. We have a big lineup for you today at hour number 2 at 3:35. Matt Solomon. Been a minute since Solomon's been on the show. He is from Cracked.com, great publication online. Matt is going to grade Saturday Night Live, the iconic NBC show at 50. He has written a column on this, looking back at the past 50 years of SNL and how the 50th season is holding up. So Solomon's in at 3:35 with that. At 3:06, what's worse, where we ask you the not-so-important question of the day, but your chance to weigh in, today's category, shaving or flossing. You probably don't do that in the same spot. But anyway, shaving or flossing, we'll talk about that in hour number two. And then it's 2:35 this hour, so less than a half an hour. Joe Zepecki is going to be on the program. He is founder of Zepecki Communications, longtime Democratic political strategist, communication, marketing guy. And he is now running for the chairmanship of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler chose not to run again. So there's an open election. Talk to Zepecki. Really interested. Here's a guy that I really respect. I don't belong to any political party, so I've got no dog in the race, no vote. But it seems to me Zepecki is the kind of guy that you want in these times. But we'll talk to him and ask him some questions. But right now, joining us via StreamYard from the nation's capital, you know him, you love him. If you joined us in our old time slot at noon, Trygve Olson, native of River Falls, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, and here joining us in the mid-afternoon at 2 o'clock, which is good news for Trygve because he gets up at about 1:30. Trygve Olson, how are you?
Having the worst day technical-wise.
Well, I love the fact for those watching on the stream, Trygve has position the microphone directly in front of his face, so it kind of looks like that character from the old Home Improvement show where all he can see is his head, top of his head.
Dude, if you knew what a mess. I got a new monitor. It's in the wrong place. They sent me this new camera for doing, like, LP stuff, and it's robotic, and I can't figure out how to get the remote to work so I can get myself centered here. It's not a very good day.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I appreciate you being here. I understand they put one of those robotic cameras in our studio a while back, supposed to follow you around. And
we turned that off.
We basically had to break it because it just didn't work. So
we didn't have to break it. We just turned off the following.
Oh, we turned it off the following? The AI portion.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
You know, the one thing I didn't check, there may not be batteries in this remote. There you have it. They shipped it without batteries.
They shipped it without batteries.
That would be why the remote control wasn't working.
How dare they? How dare they?
God, I'm becoming my kids, Todd. Anyway, I was just going to announce I'm formally here in my role as the Green Bay owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, I was going to say, for people listening to our old time slot, usually we would wait until the last 2, 3, 4 minutes of our hour together to talk about the Packers or something sports related. Trygve is an owner of the Green Bay Packers. But here now, why don't we just start out with the Packers proper, because the big draft kicks off tomorrow in Green Bay, round one. Very excited about this. Our sports reporter Mike Clemens is going to be giving reports from up in Green Bay. But as a Green Bay owner, Trygve, what are your thoughts about the draft?
Well, there's part of me that would like to see him trade the pick just because there's going to be all those people that are showing up there. But
seems like your settings chose your new camera
apparently your microphone's a little, I don't know, muted or something. I don't know.
Oh, is my microphone screwed up? I need to get closer?
We can wait until
we'll figure that out.
We'll worry about that in about 5 minutes because our breaks now are at 20 after. So worry.
I got it.
There,
I got it.
There. Now it sounds better.
Get it set to my headphones.
You had all this new technology.
It's all this. I told you I'm having a bad day technology wise. I hope the Green Bay Packers have a better day on the draft. How is that for a pivot?
Right.
I kind of hope they take the receiver. I think he's from Arizona. But to be honest, I don't have an informed opinion on the draft. And I think most of these people talking about the draft are just trying to make money off it.
Yeah.
If I really knew anything, Todd, you know what I'd be? Brian Gutekunst. Right. And trust me, if I were smart enough to have his job, I would rather have his job than my job. Yeah. That'd be the greatest job in the world.
It seems like if you look at history, and my former boss Scott Klug was always fond of saying, Todd, if you want to know about someone's future performance, look at their past performance. I've found that to be true. Goody is not someone who's really. I don't think he's ever traded away. the first two or three rounds to move up. He's always taken a player in round one, two, and three. He seems a fairly conservative guy, and I don't think he's going to make a big splash just because it happens to be in Green Bay. I think he's going to stick with his strategy. That's just my take.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, the one year he did trade back a ways, and then he traded back up to get Alexander. I kind of think Gutekunst is one of these guys, whatever it takes to win, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's just, I don't know. And he certainly fleeced those fancy New Yorkers on the Aaron Rodgers deal. Right. And those city slickers out in Las Vegas on the Devontae Adams trade. Right.
No, he's
yeah. Here's to UW lacrosse. We may not have to ask what's cooking at lacrosse because they're clearly cooking up good NFL GMs.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. We had Joseph Pecky at the bottom of the hour, Trigvi. Really looking forward to this discussion with him. Learn a little bit more about him, about his vision for the Wisconsin Democratic Party and his campaign to be the new chair after Ben Wickler has decided not to run for another term. So I want to talk about some of the national things before we get to Pecky at the bottom of the hour. I want to get your take on a couple of things, Trigvi. And for those that don't know, Trigvi spent a lot of time in D.C. working for guys like John McCain and also Mitch McConnell and others, has worked on presidential campaigns. And for those that might not know in this time slot, the only person that I know who has been banned from Russia personally by Vladimir Putin for his work against autocracies and for democracy in Eastern Europe. I want to get your take on this, Trigvi, on this whole Pete Hegseth thing going on, the Signalgate stuff, because now there's been a new Signalgate on a personal phone that, and again, Hegseth or the Trump folks don't deny any of this stuff, that he's talking about military operations on a non-secured personal phone. So far, Trump is standing with him, but finally now we have a Republican, Don Bacon, Republican of Nebraska in the House of Representatives, was on Jake Tapper's show on CNN. Let's play a little bit of that. This is Congressman Bacon on Jake Tapper.
If this were your Secretary of Defense, what would you do?
Well, I wouldn't tolerate it. I would hold him accountable and I'd fire him. You can't put classified information, and I guarantee it, if you're talking about when you're launching aircraft to attack Yemen, and you do that 2 hours before the missions, that is classified. That's operational details that you want to protect. And it was just wrong to put that on an unclassified application and to send it to people who are not cleared or in the need to know. We would fire a second lieutenant for doing this. And so as a military guy, and this is not a Republican view or a Democrat view, I think it's an American view, that we protect our security, we protect our servicemen and women. As those details, if they would have got out early to the Houthis, could have endangered our airmen. And I guarantee you, Russia and China are all over the Secretary of Defense's cell phone, and they got hundreds of people focused on his phone and what he's putting on that, because he is like the top priority target for their signals collection. So what I want to see from the Secretary is to just be honest, admit you did wrong, take responsibility, and apologize, because that lets us know that you understand that was wrong. When he does not admit to it and tries to obfuscate, that further lowers his credibility on this. He's got to come clean and be honest and just take responsibility.
That's Congressman Don Bacon, Republican of Nebraska, on Jake Tapper's show on CNN, calling for Hegseth to resign or be fired. Trivia, about a minute and a half left here before the first break. What's your take on this?
He was sizzling.
Right. Bacon was sizzling. Yeah.
He's a former general, I think.
Yes, he is.
Bacon. Although as it comes to that, he's in a marginal district. It's the University of Nebraska district. So it's Omaha. Mm-hmm. He has not really been a profile in courage. He barely won last time. Like, he's a little bit, but he's a credible guy. I mean, it's great that he's speaking out. I think he's speaking the truth, and I think he speaks from a place of caring. The truth of the matter is, you look at Hegseth and how he's been responding to this, everything is, I'm very disappointed in the leaker. We have to find the leaker. I don't know who's leaking this. And the irony is, the leaker is him.
Right, exactly.
Like, he can look in the mirror and find the guy who is leaking.
Right.
So I just think, you know, there's, Yeah, just because he's on TV, these people were on TV, doesn't make him smart.
By the way, he redid the green room in the Defense Department. Now has a makeup chair and a makeup stylist for his Fox News hits. That's real. Back with Trigvi Olsen after this. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network at our new time. Same host. Come on back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
They told us nothing but lies.
These timeshare thieves out there are terrible.
They bullied us.
Our timeshare is all a scam.
They stole from us. They were thieves.
I was completely taken advantage of.
Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group, and I know the tough spot you're in. Are you asking yourself, why did I buy that timeshare? I'll tell you why, because that presentation wasn't a normal sales pitch. It was a show to convince you that timeshare is a great investment. They told you it was available today and today only. They said you're foolish if you don't buy, and unfortunately, you believed them. We get over 3,000 complaints a week from folks just like you that were misled into buying a timeshare. Give us a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-838-2626. 800-838-2626. 800-838-2626.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Skyrockets in flight.
That's right. You join Joy Zommers and I for a nooner. Now you can join us for some afternoon tonight. Every afternoon now from 2 until 4, our new time slot. If you normally tune in and say, where the heck did Maggie Dawn show go? Have no fear. She's just going back a couple of hours. She'll be here at 4 o'clock now. Now in drive time from 4 until 6, the great Maggie Dawn show every afternoon, followed by the great Pete Schwabba and Nightlight every evening from 6 until 8. But the one thing that stays the same, thank goodness, our friend Trigvi Olsen, ongoing contributor native of River Falls, Wisconsin, senior advisor now at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, joins us on Wednesdays to talk about a little politics, but also some Packers from time to time, and also what makes Wisconsin great. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor on Facebook, says, Todd, is it daylight saving time today? What's going on? No, Jeff. It's just a time change. We're in daylight saving time, but we're still changing show times. Trigvi, going to have Joseph Pecky on at the bottom of the hour after our news update. Zepecki, of course, longtime Democratic political strategist, great marketing guy, founder of Zepecki Communications. He is running for the chairmanship of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin now that Ben Wickler is choosing not to run. So I want to get to a couple of national issues before Joe comes on at the bottom of the hour. You know, 2 to 3 minutes here on each one of these. First of all, okay. And I think for some people are going to say, what's the big deal here? And yesterday, Bill Owens, the longtime executive producer of the Sunday evening news program, 60 Minutes on CBS, resigned, essentially under pressure. And there was a big meeting of CBS folks in a 60 Minute, including Leslie Stahl and Scott Pelley and Anderson Cooper and others, in which he and he also put out a memo to his colleagues at CBS and essentially said, look, with the world today, and whether it's Sherry Redstone, the now owner yet of CBS Paramount, or this new merger they're trying to do, that and of course CBS is signaling they're going to settle with Trump like ABC did for essentially no reason. They didn't do anything wrong. But now this guy, Bill Owens, who ran CBS or 60 Minutes, is saying, I don't feel I can do my job like I always have done because of pressure at the top. Is this anything, Trigvi? You've dealt with autocracies. We've seen this in other places where the media starts getting intimidated. Should we make something out of this, or is this nothing?
No, it's kind of a big deal, because the reality is one of the ways that these guys take control is by bullying the media and getting them to bend to their will through lawsuits or whatever means. And, you know, it really is true. The best way to confront an autocrat or a bully is to stand up to the autocrat or the bully, and that's not what they're doing.
And you've literally written a book, or you're in process, I think, of writing a book on this. But tell people about this, the seven rules of dealing with autocrats, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's seven rules dealing with autocrats. The one that's relevant here is always speak truth to power, and that's what CBS and 60 Minutes were doing. And, in fact, the entire lawsuit was based on a lie. It was that they had somehow edited their interview with Kamala Harris, and that wasn't the case. And, you know, I mean, Trump's trying to shut them down. They're venerable, and I'm sure in Donald Trump's mind, you know, 60 Minutes is the preeminent news, which it kind of is, preeminent television news program of, you know, long format stories. And he's bullied them. And if he can, and it sends a bad precedent, because if he can bully CBS and 60 Minutes, you know, what's the person at the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram think if he comes after them?
Right. Exactly. Speaking of papers, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a great paper here in the state of Wisconsin, story by Eva Wen today, entitled What to Know About Recent Immigration Arrests in the Milwaukee County Courthouse. Again, about 3 minutes here before our break. The large 30,000 view here now. A third person has been arrested by ICE in Wisconsin, the first two at the Milwaukee County Courthouse, this one in Ozaukee County Courthouse. These folks are going because they're trying to do it the quote-unquote right way. They're trying to get their papers in order, become citizens, at least permanent residents, and ICE is staking out these courthouses now and arresting people right here in Wisconsin. To me, Trigvi, this all comes back. Our other colleagues here at Civic Media have talked about this. It's due process. And if folks aren't given due process, and they're guaranteed this in the Constitution, if that isn't upheld and adhered to, then none of us are really safe, regardless of whether we're American citizens or not. Speak to this again in about a minute and a half here, talking about what you've seen in other countries.
Well, I mean, the reality is, you know, they want people to live in fear. And what better way than the president can order that you pick up a bunch of people on the street and send them to a gulag in El Salvador. And then when the Supreme Court rules 9-0 against you, you say, oh, but we don't have a way to get them back. Right. Like, and listen, Trump tweeted the other day, or Truth Social or whatever you do on there, that he doesn't have time to for everybody to have a court hearing. Well, what a crock. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was one of the most reprehensible people to ever traverse the planet. He got due process. He got a trial. Like, it's an imperfect system, but it's a lot better than the alternative of some guy in politics being able to decide who you know, gets picked up and who doesn't.
I'm glad you brought up this Truth Social thing you tweeted out about, well, we don't have time for everybody to get a trial. He clearly does not understand the immigration or the legal system. As someone who handled immigration affairs for a former congressman in Wisconsin, what you're talking about here is going before an immigration court and having basically a hearing where the judge says, hey, are you here legally, illegally? You don't have an actual jury trial for every single one of these cases. It's just not how it works. And so it's just a bold-faced lie to gin people up, and it's disingenuous at best. Always genuine is Joe Zepecki. He is a candidate for the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin. Come back and have a conversation with he and Trigby and myself. Stay tuned. News, weather, sports update. We're back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced over $320,000 of investments for county forest roads. According to a press release, the funding will support the improvement of over 930 miles of roads across 24 counties in the state. A number of northwest Wisconsin counties will receive a portion of that funding, including Eau Claire, Burnett, Polk, and Ashland. Roads eligible for the funding must be part of a comprehensive county forest land use plan. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources have announced over 10 million trees were planted in the state last year. According to a press release, Wisconsin's Trillion Trees Pledge 2024 annual report found that nearly 10.7 million trees were planted over more than 57,000 acres. The report also found the state has covered over 40% of its 75 million tree goal by 2030. Governor Evers signed an executive order to pursue the pledge in 2021. The state has also reached over 60% of its forest conservation goal. An Ashland park will see renovation work beginning on May 1st. Construction crews will begin replacing the bathhouse at Crayer Park as part of a larger redevelopment project. Work on the full project is expected to take about 6 months, but city officials are hoping that the bathhouse building can be replaced by the end of June to ensure it's operational for July 4th. Officials also say the park should be open as usual in mid-May. Funding for the redevelopment comes from the Department of Natural Resources Stewardship Grant and American Rescue Plan Act. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Barron and Rusk Counties is inviting residents to register for their Healthy Living with Diabetes workshop. The six-week program starting May 7th will offer participants evidence-based strategies to integrate with traditional treatment, like adding nutritious foods and appropriate exercise to their daily routines. The program is open to adults with pre, type 1, or type 2 diabetes, as well as family members and caregivers who support them. Pre-registration for the program must be completed by April 30th. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and a little warmer today. We'll get to the mid-60s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered showers possible with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few off and on showers with a high in the upper 50s to right around 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shiloh, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Campaign, but some of them went into...
Welcome Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Odd for me to say here in our new time zone, our new time slot. Still the same time zone, just a different time slot. The music, intro music there, Mr. Zahmer, is from the Joseph Pecky Spotify playlist.
Is that right? Some Rage Against the Machine.
All right, very good, very good. Always appreciate that. He is our next guest, a longtime Democratic strategist and president and founder of Zepecky Communications and a candidate for the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He joins us via StreamYard. Mr. Joe Zepecky with Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joining from Arlington. Joe, thanks so much for being on. And what's it like now that you're an official candidate for chair?
I gotta say, I've worked on a lot of campaigns. I've worked with a lot of candidates, and I was right. It is different when it is your name that's going to be on a ballot. I don't know if Trigvi's had the pleasure, but it's a little different. But it's a lot of fun. I'm getting around the state, talking to people all across Wisconsin, all across the Democratic coalition. To me, that is the only way to build a viable pro-democracy resistance against the Trump administration and a Democratic Party that is built to win elections next year and build power going forward for working families, for people who want to get the American dream for themselves. And the response has been overwhelming. We rolled out 20 public endorsers on day one. We've added another more than half dozen in the week since. And I haven't even been at it for a full week. Tomorrow will be 1 week in the race. So it's going great.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, you've been on a lot of programs across civic media. We were talking before we went on the air. I don't think you've ever been on our show proper, although you were on a panel with Trigvi and some other folks about a year and a half ago down in Milwaukee. First of all, what the heck's the matter with Todd? Number one, not having you on sooner, but I'm glad you're here today. For those that might not know who you are, we're a statewide audience across 11 different stations all across the state. Tell folks a little bit about Joe Zepecky, where you grew up, a little bit about your history so far, and how you got into leadership or wanting to be a leadership in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
Yeah, born and raised in Southeast Wisconsin. Graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I got the political bug early. My parents instilled in me very early on that those who have much must give back. And we were very fortunate and privileged. My dad worked in county government for 20 years. My mother is an attorney who is sort of on that first wave of a lot of women lawyers and has been a leader in that space, founded things like Women's Judges Night in Milwaukee. And so I had the bug early. I spent the summer before my freshman year of high school volunteering on a congressional campaign, and then it was off and running. I've worked on 3 presidential campaigns, worked in the Obama administration at the U.S. Small Business Administration, moved back home to Wisconsin in late 2011, and in 2016 founded Zepecky Communications to really work on issues I care about and I'm passionate about, whether that's, you know, funding public schools, protecting healthcare improvements and reforms that have been made, working with building trades union members to ensure that they build our clean energy future. I never thought we'd be in this space, but the last few years have had to do a lot of work in the democracy space, trying to lift up the January 6th Select Committee hearings and making sure that people know that the threats to our democracy are very real. And, you know, along the way, I've tried to do some good, tried to give back. I'm a volunteer football coach at the high school I played at in the 1900s, is how the kids like to say it. And that stings pretty badly these days, but they're not wrong.
That's hilarious. I'm going to give Trigvi a second, bring him in a second. But before I do, one more kind of general, quote-unquote, campaign question here. As a former Republican, I don't belong to any party now. I've been a big admirer, I think I can speak for Trigvi as well, we both have, of Ben Wickler and the job that he has done to build the Democratic Party. Look, I just personally believe that there's only one major party left that truly supports democracy, and that's the Democratic Party. So that's why I support them, but I'm not a card-carrying member. As you, and this is, I don't want to call it weird, but to people outside of politics, this is not an election for the general electorate. This is a very insider thing to Democrats. You're going to meet here in a couple of months for this election for chair. But speaking to those folks, what would you do to build on Chairman Wickler's successes? And how might a Zepecky chairmanship be different and building on that?
Well, first of all, Todd, we have a place for you. You can be a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party, even if you're a former Republican.
I appreciate that. I just think for the purposes of this show, it's better that I don't. I don't know.
Fair enough. I've got some work left to do there. Listen, Ben Wickler has been an extraordinary chair and has really reimagined what the Democratic Party of Wisconsin can be. And so I think of this as three main roles that the chair plays and that the party plays. The first is fundraising. DPW, WISDEMS, however you refer to it, is a financial institution that raises money to support professional campaigns up and down the ballot. On that dial, we have to do what's been working. We have to continue to shine a spotlight on Wisconsin. I believe that money follows message. And when we communicate what's at stake, what the opportunities are, and how we're going to organize to push back and win, the resources will be there. When it comes to the infrastructure of the Democratic Party, the county parties, the issue-based caucuses, the college Democrats and those chapters, there are things that we can do to fine-tune and build on what Ben has built. Not all is well with the Democratic Party. If it was, we wouldn't have lost to Donald Trump two out of the last three times. And so I'm hearing from a lot of county leaders, there are things that can be improved. We have to lower barriers to entry for people who want to be part of the fight back, and that's what we're going to do. And then third, when it comes to how the Democratic Party communicates its message, we have been a disaster and we shouldn't pretend otherwise. Burn it down and build it back up. That starts, from my perspective, with empowering more local messengers to carry the story. We no longer live in a world where, hey, these are your three talking points, go speak them at someone, works. Everybody needs to tell their own story about why they are motivated at this time in our history. So that's the quick 1-2-3. You can read the game plan for yourself at joezepecki.com.
Trigvy?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I was really excited when Todd called me earlier today and said you were coming on, and I had actually been on a conference call earlier in the day where I found out that you were running. Talk a little bit about how Democrats, particularly north of Highway 29, do better. You know, when you start going north of Highway 29 up into Tiffany's district, even over to where I'm from in St. Croix County, which is kind of right on Highway 29, Democrats have struggled. How do you reach out to those people? Because, you know, really, Tammy Baldwin ended up winning because she ran just enough better than Donald Trump, than Harris in those counties. Talk a little bit about that.
To me, that's putting an economic framework at the center of everything we do. When we cede so much of the playing field to Republicans to define Democrats, and we don't meet them there, it's not the fault of voters north of Highway 29 that they think that all Democrats care about are bathroom bills and trans athletes. We are going to fight to protect the civil rights of everyone in this country, but at the heart of the Democratic Party is that pathway to the middle class. If you want to work hard and play by the rules, you need to be able to get ahead. And over the last 30 years, what we've seen is that big corporations are fixing the game against working people. Oh, you want to work? Great, we'll give you 29 hours a week. Wait, why 29? I want to work full time. Well, if you work 30, we got to give you health care. These big corporations are out of control and squeezing every nickel they can out of us. And it's made it harder and harder for young people especially, but also people in rural communities, to feel like there is a path forward. You know, when the three of us graduated high school, we all probably had pretty high confidence. Whether we went to a 2 or 4 year school, into a trade, into the military, by the time we were 40, we could afford a house, maybe have the start of a little nest egg for retirement. When I talk to the 20-year-old in my house, she looks at me like I'm from another planet, that was the reality not 25, 30 years ago. Mm. That's what the heart of the Democratic Party is working for working people. And we have shied away from that. There is nothing about fighting for working class people that Democrats should be embarrassed about. Say it with your chest. We are here to fight for working families, period.
I'm here talking with Joe Zepecki, chair, or wants to be chair, candidate for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and also our ongoing contributor and friend Trigvy Olson, former Republican like myself and senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Joe, talk a little bit about, because I had a conversation, I'll try to be succinct here. I had a conversation with a friend of mine known a long time, a mid to late 30s guy from southwest Wisconsin, has voted Democrat as long as I've known him. And we got into this discussion, and you're not running for DNC chair. I think it was a mistake for National Democrats to pass on Ben Wickler, but that's another bottle of wine. But this guy, David Hogg, who is now the vice chair of the Democratic Party, comes out here last week and says he's going to spend $20 million from his personal PAC to challenge sitting Democrats in safe districts who are either too old, in his opinion, or who don't vote progressive enough, and take them out to swing the party younger and more liberal. I mean, I'm not asking you to defend that, but just in Wisconsin, I find it hard to believe that Wisconsin Democrats think that Congressman Gwendolyn Moore should step aside because she's 74. I just don't get the strategy there.
Listen, it's not about the number next to how old you are. It's how much passion and fight you have left in you. I was actually with Congresswoman Moore this morning. We held a roundtable discussion with a half dozen of her constituents who are going to be impacted by the Republican plan to slash Medicaid. This is going to have a cascading economic impact apart from the morality question of cutting off disabled adults who are living independently, you name it. Gwen Moore has the fight. If you have the fight, fight with us in our coalition. If your time has passed and you've lost your fastball, yeah, it's probably time to exit stage left. I saw Senator Durbin announce today that he will be stepping aside. Dick Durbin has been a great Democrat for a very long time, and there is nothing wrong with passing the torch to a new generation of leaders. That's what Joe Biden said he was going to do back in 2020. And I think if he had lived up to that in more ways a little sooner, we may not be in such a five-alarm crisis when it comes to protecting everything that makes America actually great, as opposed to what MAGA Republicans want you to believe.
But I'm just fascinated by this as an outsider who's not part of the Democratic Party, because in my opinion, I mean, Trigvy and I have talked about this before as former Republicans. They're just better at keeping people in line. I mean, I don't envy the head of the Democratic Party, because to me, it's like herding cats, right? And so I'm just fascinated as an outsider. How do Democrats moving forward appease the David Hoggs and the AOCs, the people that say, look, we're tired, we're ticked off, we don't want to wait anymore, we don't care about the institutions, we want these reforms now. How do you keep their votes, which will be seen by some people as far left, and then kind of the more traditional Democrats? Well, I was talking to this guy from Southwest Wisconsin, his 30s, a Democrat. He said, this is a great example of why we are going to see a third party emerge, because both parties are too far left and right. How do you, as the future chairman of the Democrats, keep a third party from emerging and say, no, we as the Wisconsin Democratic Party, we are a big tent?
I don't think we can be a pro-democracy movement if we shy away from democracy. Everybody has a right to run, and if they want to run against incumbents, go for it. We know that's an uphill battle, but there's nothing wrong with more democracy being the answer to the challenges our democracy faces. My approach is always, you got to have a big table. You got to have room in our coalition now more than ever for folks who think, yeah, we should raise the minimum wage and it should go up to $10.10 tomorrow. And there are also people on the left who say it should go to $25 tomorrow. We have to be a coalition that's big enough to, you know, to keep everybody on sides, win back power. And if we want to have those fights and we land at 15, 17, 20, that's the hard work of governing. But for now, what the Trump administration is doing is focusing our attention and focusing, you know, the mind on, you know what, whether you think it's 10 or 25, you think working people need a raise, and let's focus on that part of it moving forward. We can sort some of that out after we win back power and save our country.
Trigvy, 1 minute, less than 1 minute. Quick question, quick answer before we go to break. Trigvy, anything?
No, I mean, I just think, you know, Joe, the answers you're giving about economics, and I say this, take it for what it's worth, from a guy who used to work for McConnell, so I don't know how much credibility I have with people who are working to elect you. But the truth of the matter is you're spot on. You know, I saw Mark Cuban had a tweet not long ago where it showed Wisconsin has more at risk from the tariffs than any other state. 10% of the jobs in Wisconsin are at risk. 73% of the people who are at risk voted for Donald Trump. Like, there's a huge opportunity, but they did it for a reason. And they did it because Republicans come along and say, as you said, it's about bathrooms and athletes and whatnot.
Trigvy Olson, Joseph Pecky, back in for this on the other side. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Voting proof of citizenship efforts are afoot in Michigan, while voters await the outcome of the Federal SAVE Act and a Trump executive order requiring similar restrictions. This despite no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in Michigan or anywhere else in the U.S. In Michigan, a constitutional amendment which failed to achieve a two-thirds majority in the legislature just received the go-ahead to collect signatures for a citizen ballot initiative instead. If organizers meet the signature requirements, it could appear on the 2026 ballot. The Michigan proposal requires any new registering voters to show, quote, a birth certificate, passport, and/or other documents, and would eliminate the use of sworn affidavits for voters without approved IDs. Voters without citizenship documents could cast a provisional ballot, but must return with the documents within 6 days for it to count. While that may keep the 20, that's 2-0, alleged Michigan non-citizens from voting, 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to citizenship documents, and over 5.8 million Michigan citizens don't own a U.S. passport, according to the Center for American Progress. On the national proof of citizenship front, a federal circuit court ruling on President Donald Trump's March 25th order is expected April 24th, and the SAVE Act is in the U.S. Senate, but unlikely to overcome the filibuster. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC. Or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pounding the pavements across Wisconsin, canvassing from Superior to Racine. Joseph Pecky is running for the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. With that music in his headphones, he's going to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, getting it done. He is a guest right now, along with Trigvi Olson, our ongoing contributor, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Joe, so appreciate you coming on here and having this open, honest discussion. We don't have enough people having these types of discussions, so I really appreciate this. Looking at the job of state chair, you've got the legislature now with fairer maps seems to be within reach, especially on the assembly side, maybe the state senate side. You're going to have a gubernatorial race. Democrats don't know yet whether Governor Tony Evers is going to run for reelection. And there may or may not be new congressional maps, but you have, you know, I'm going to say a MAGA extremist like Derek Van Orten in the 3rd District, who almost got knocked off by Rebecca Cook last time. As you look at the landscape, Joseph Pecky, as a potential future chairman, what do you see as your top priority?
Well, job number one is next spring. And that's an advantage that we have in Wisconsin. It helps keep the national spotlight on the state. It helps us raise the resources to invest in that year-round organizing that is so central to the wins that we've had. So ahead of next spring, we need to be innovating county by county, you know, neighborhood by neighborhood to figure out what works. There are going to be places in our party where they want to, we call it turning the van upside down, where you stop talking to regular voters who are 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4 past performance in elections. Let's knock some doors where it's 0 out of 4 or 1 out of 4. Let's have conversations. Maybe now is the time when people are both seeing and feeling what's happening from the Trump administration. They see their 401k. They may not have thought about voting last November, but now they're going, oh my God, what is this? I'm going to have to work another 3 or 4 years before I retire. Let's have those conversations. Let's build for next spring, because frankly, we protected democracy in Wisconsin by electing Susan Crawford and ensured a progressive majority that will honor the will of the people and elections. And that majority is only ensured through the spring of 2028. So I would rather pick up another seat, get to a 5-2 split on the state court, and then have greater confidence that there will not be shenanigans or big lie 3.0 when it comes to the 2028 presidential election. So it starts next spring. And then when you look at the fall, we've got to do it all. More is more. Like, this is not a time to say, well, we're going to put all our eggs in this basket. Tony Evers has been a stalwart defender of policies that would have made Wisconsin Alabama. Sorry, Alabama, but we don't want to be you, right? And we have this path to flipping control of the legislature for the first time in a generation, right? It's been since 2008 was the last time that Democrats had a majority. That path is there, and it provides another opportunity for us to raise resources from the types of groups that are only interested in flipping chambers. Ben's done a fantastic job, and there were doors that were close to him and Democrats in Wisconsin because we weren't close enough to flipping chambers. We can walk and chew gum and win elections all at the same time. So whether it's recruiting candidates to stand for election in all 132 districts, whether it's ensuring that Tony Evers or some other Democratic candidate for governor have what they need, we have to do it all. We don't have the luxury of picking and choosing, because building power in 2026 is so important. We have to flip the Congress. We have to take back the Senate. And I think given the economic anxiety that people are feeling, there's nothing that's out of reach for Democrats. We need to flood the zone with candidates who fit their district and can win. And we will provide the people power that can get folks over the top in districts that even 3 or 4 years ago, people never would have thought a Democrat could be competitive in.
Trade me something quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's spot on. I think, you know, the other thing is, and I think Ben did a really good job of this. You know, he was going to the Eau Claire's, he was reaching out to those non-traditional people, and you're exactly right. Conversation is so essential.
I'm heading up to Hayward, that part of the state that later this week. That, I mean, it's, you got to be everywhere.
You do. And what? I mean, if you think about, you know, one thing that I pointed out, which is kind of national, but it relates to Wisconsin, 5 Senate races. OK, all in states that Harris lost. Jackie Rosen, Gallego, Tammy Baldwin and Slotkin all spoke directly to the camera and said, this trans ads that they're running against me, it's not true. You know who I am. The one who didn't, Casey, lost. Harris didn't do it. She lost. You gotta have some trust in the people.
And you gotta tell the story. And that's what I mean when I say that we're leaving the playing field uncontested, right? I mean, there are more billionaires in Donald Trump's cabinet than there are Division I trans athletes in the entire United States. This is a distraction so that they hope that you don't notice. They're fixing the economy for Elon Musk and billionaire special interests while the rest of us are getting nickel and dimed at every turn. And it just has to stop. And the only way it's going to stop is when people show up and show out. I like to say, if you have a government that's of the billionaires and by the billionaires, it's only ever going to be for the billionaires. If we have a government that is by and for the people, it is possible to have an economy that works for everyone. That's what we need to do. The message we need to take to voters, not just tomorrow, not just next year, but moving forward for years to come, to build an enduring pro-democracy coalition.
Trigvy is always fond of saying that Democrats are great at writing policy, Republicans are great at writing narrative. It would seem to me having a guy who's a communication and marketing specialist like Joseph Pecky would be a great person to have in charge of writing a Democratic narrative, but that's just me as an outsider.
I'd love to earn people's support. Go to josephpecky.com to learn more. Join the team. We got a place for you on our squad.
Joseph Pecky, we appreciate you coming on so very much. Good luck in your bid to be the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin. We'll stay in touch. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
Yep, you as well. Joseph Pecky, everybody.
Thanks, Joe. Good luck.
Trigvy, we got, 30 seconds left. Any final comments for the Packers in the draft?
Well, aren't we playing that game still with the new time where it's either or? What is it called? Which is worse?
Well, you want to stay around for what's worse? After
I love that game. Okay. Of course I'm going to stay.
All right.
Shaving versus flossing?
Yes. All right.
Trigby doesn't want to be a part of that.
Trigby's going to stay around for what's worse. That's fantastic. Great tease. We appreciate that. Come on back. It's hour number two of the Todd Allmoles Show at our new time right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the Vatican, the body of Pope Francis now lying in state in St. Peter's Basilica, where people are waiting in long lines to pay respects for the next 3 days. That leads up to his funeral on Saturday. ABC's Terry Moran is in Vatican City on what's next.
What comes next after Saturday's funeral and burial? The conclave, that ancient process, all the cardinals gathering in the Sistine Chapel, sworn to secrecy to choose the next pope. No date for that has been set yet. Vatican rules say it should be 15 to 20 days after the death of a pope.
President Trump and the First Lady will be among world leaders in attendance. Today, officials from the U.S., Europe, and Ukraine held meetings in London on a ceasefire deal talks between Ukraine and Russia. The CDC is reporting more than 8,000 cases of whooping cough in the U.S. this year. That's more than twice the number compared to this time last year as vaccination rates fall. This is ABC News.